Hey, this is Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, helping you jumpstart your career in financial services. As always, I'm bringing to you fresh ideas from a recently aired video on my YouTube channel, which you can find at www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP. Do me a favor, my friend, and text me at 214-699-7599 with any questions you might have from this show so I can help you along your journey in becoming a successful financial professional. Again, that number is 214-699-7599. All right, let's hop into today's topic. How do you make money as a financial advisor? There are a myriad of ways, models, and methods. So let's tackle some of those today. Get the pen and paper out. Hey there, Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube. Want to tackle the subject of how exactly financial advisors, financial coaches, people as in this industry named financial professionals, how do they get paid? Is it services rendered? Is it products sold? Is it a combination of those things? I've heard about this AUM thing. How does that work? I want to tackle all that today and give you some clarity so that when this video's over, you will have a better idea of exactly how to get compensated, especially if you are looking to get into this industry. Let's get started. Okay, so for my traditional financial professionals, usually called financial planners or financial advisors, they go by several titles, but here's the defining act. There's going to be a 1940 Investment Act that basically says what defines investment advice. If you fall under that, then you're regulated. And if you're regulated, you're either regulated at the state level or at the federal level. All that means is you got to file is what it called is an ADV, a form ADV, and I'm going to make sure I link the video that I talked about my own ADV so that you can take a look at a sample one. But what this means is that in this form or this brochure that you're supposed to give to the public, it names all the different ways you get paid, right? So one popular model, and I would argue that this is probably the most used model, is the assets under management model, which means that a client will give you their assets to manage with either discretion or without discretion. With discretion means that you can enact investment advice and changing the investment mix and the models and all that kind of stuff without their consent. And non-discretion is the opposite, obviously. So what you would do is most advisors, they have a model where they take a snapshot of what the assets are at the end of the quarter. Let's say it's $1 million. And then they bill them in advance for the upcoming quarter, the next 90 days or so. Let's say it's 1%, right? So that's $10,000 for the year divided by four, which gives you $2,500. So $2,500 in fees is what the client would pay. And that's if you do it in advance. If you do it in arrears, you do the same thing, but opposite, right? You would basically maybe take the average balance for the whole quarter, or maybe you would take the balance at the end of the quarter and do, you know, the billing backwards. So doesn't really matter, but assets under management is a popular way that investment, or let's say people that are regulated under that Investment Act of 1940, charge for their services. Now, staying within that traditional model, you also have financial advisors that charge a flat fee, right? What does a flat fee look like? It looks like one fee that is negotiated between the client and the advisor, obviously, and that's what they get charged, right? Maybe it's $10,000 a year, and that includes everything. That includes handling your investments, handling your cash flow, handling your tax strategy, handling your asset protection, whatever the advisor and the client deem as the service deliverable is negotiated, and it's probably going to be written in some type of engagement proposal that the client will then sign, and then they will be billed accordingly, probably, you know, through a checking account or something like that, right? So that's a popular model also. It's becoming more popular even with this fee-only advice movement, so you may want to look for that, and that would probably be in the ADV also. Next, a very popular model that has been around for the longest is commission, right? So for a transaction, when a transaction happens, there is a percentage of that transaction that goes back to the advisor or the broker and is paid to them as a commission. Now, that looks like a lot of different things. Most of the time, commissions are tied to a product, meaning life insurance or mutual funds, right? So there's so many different ways that this works, but in short, commissions can be one of those ways where the advisor gets compensated for products that are delivered to the client. Now, caveat, it's always a good idea, whether you are fee-only or not, to disclose to the client upfront if you're getting some type of commission from a product that you sell. The reason why is just because under the fiduciary standard and doing things in the client's best interest, you don't want their decision to do business with you to be impacted by a product that you sell, right? So if you're getting commission, you know, let's say you have company A and company B, both with products that you represent or that you sell to the public, and one of the companies pays you a higher commission. Well, let the client know that up front, that you prefer that company for whatever particular reason, so that before they decide to do business with you, they have that information so they can make a business decision and you're not withholding the information from them. That's where people get in trouble, is withholding the information because there's some type of benefit to the advisor or whatnot. I just say, be upfront with the client and disclose that upfront, and usually there's no issues. Thanks for taking the time with me today to listen. Just one quick question before we continue. Have you subscribed to my YouTube channel yet? If you haven't, I want to give you just one more reason to subscribe. Each week, I'm going to be sharing what I've learned in 20 plus years in the industry so that you can reach your goals faster. How's that? Now back to this week's episode. Lastly, the hourly model, which I don't really like as much. It's obviously pretty popular in other industries such as, you know, tax, like accounting and bookkeeping and whatnot. Also legally, attorneys charge hourly, you know, things of that nature. Advisors, I think, and this goes into a philosophical discussion that we can probably have at another time. It's really not the scope of what I'm trying to talk about today, but hourly is another way to be compensated. And again, all these methods, if you are regulated, if you are deemed as someone giving investment advice, this should all be in your ADV. And the hourly rate can be whatever you deem it to be based on what you feel your time is worth. Now, flipping the script somewhat, let's talk about the non-traditional path, right? If the traditional path exists, there's got to be a non-traditional path, right? It's the yin and the yang, right? The opposites. So here we go with the non-traditional path. If you are a non-traditional financial advisor, what does that mean, right? That just means that you're not regulated. For the most part, there has not been really regulation for financial coaching and financial counseling, financial counselors to this point. Don't know if that will change. Keep your eyes open. But if you are a financial coach and you are not rendering investment advice, there is no need to file that form ADV. There is no need to register with any authorities or anything that of that nature. Now, there are some designations, also not the scope of this particular podcast. Make sure you may look down below for some information on my course where I actually go through all the different designations, traditional or non-traditional, of the different paths into this industry and breaking down what some of those mean and even showing you which ones are probably the ones that you want to go after. But another subject for another day. What I would say with the non-traditional is you're usually going to look at some type of subscription-based model, which is very similar to the flat fee. Even the flat fee traditional financial advisors, financial professionals term what they're doing as subscription model. Just really depends on the state that you're registering in, what they call it. But for the most part, a subscription model works like this. You go to the gym, you pay a subscription every month that you use that gym membership. Sometimes you're in a contract or whatnot, but that makes things complicated. But the point is you pay a subscription. So every month there's a set fee that you're paying for a set amount of services. That's a really popular model in the non-traditional sense. And you may have other models like, you know, hourly or whatnot, where you're paying for some type of service, maybe in a bundle or like a project type of format. The other thing that may be popular in the non-traditional route, I've seen a lot of my coaching friends that have courses, right? So you can go in, get access to a course where you are working through a module and you've paid a one price. Maybe you've broken that up into installments, but that's another way as a financial professional, non-traditionally speaking, that you can get paid is to offer a course that bundles the information that you're trying to get over to your prospect or your ideal client, that they then buy the course, consume the information, and that's how they get the value. So we said a lot today, but I want you to remember two things. If you're in the industry, you're aspiring to be in the industry, you have to remember two things when it comes to how you're going to get paid and how you're going to reach out to people. Got to remember flexibility and fit. Be flexible in your pricing model enough to be able to meet people where they're at. You don't want to be so inflexible to say, I'm only flat fee, unless for whatever business reasons you want to be this flat fee and go after a certain market that accepts that model. What I like to say about fit is, remember, it's all about relationship. You're going to grow with your client's going to grow with you, there are going to be some ups and downs, and at when it's all said and done, you do want to have someone that is a long-term fit for your business. You will have to compromise at times and have short-term fits, but try not to crowd a lot of those into your business, because what's going to end up happening is you're going to build something that you don't enjoy. And this is too great of an industry. There's way too many people that need help, and we need so much more talent like you. We don't want you to do that. We don't want you to burn out. The bottom line is, no matter what you choose to do, what path you choose to go down, traditional or non-traditional, you know, at the end of the day, your pricing is going to be determinant on a couple of things, no matter how you charge, you know, and all these other things. It's going to be really the expertise that you bring to the table, right? How experienced are you at getting people out of their debt problems as a financial coach? Or how experienced are you as a financial advisor helping people achieve their goals and check off the box, the things that they need to do in order to get there? You know, how deep is your experience? How successful are you at doing that? And then at the same time, on the flip side, how does the client view you? Like, what is the value, right? Are you serving a need that the client actually has? When you hang out your shingle, Dominique Henderson, registered investment advisor, you know, are people being attracted to that, and why are they being attracted to that? Those are the two things that are really going to determine your success and how much you charge. You very well could be the best, you know, investment guru ever, you know, ever known to man, but if you go to a market that can't handle your pricing, then you're going to be out of business. So you got to just think through some of these things and see what makes sense for you as an advisor, and then move from there. Take a look at this video that I created. I was talking about that earlier about my ADV. That should be helpful for you. And make sure you subscribe and like this video, and we'll see you back later. Bye-bye. Well, that wraps up this week's episode, and I hope you were able to glean at least one takeaway that will help you on your path. You know what? I'd really love to hear what it was that I said that may have helped you. Feel free to drop me an email at info@djh-capital.com. That's info@djh-capital.com. One last thing, my friend, it would really help the podcast if you would leave a review on the platform that you're enjoying it on. I'd really appreciate it. And it will help more financial professionals like yourself find out about what we're doing here. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.